Session one, right? Satan, very real battle. And I said it last night, I guess it would be, that one of the number one things he wants to do in the minds of believers is to get us to doubt God's word. And if you're not there, you're putting your faith, hope, and trust in the word of God as final authority. The next thing he's going to do is to try to do everything he can to distract you, to keep you out of God's word. Which means if we're out of God's word, then we're listening to more of the world. And it just really boils down to is what voice are we listening to more? The lies of Satan and what the world tells us or the truth of God? So what he's going to do is he's going to try to keep us away from God's word. So I want to talk to you about not just how to use the weapon today, but just as importantly, why to use our weapon. And I'm going to reference a book quite often today by a guy by the name of Wayne Cordero. He is a pastor over in Hawaii. And who wouldn't like to be a pastor in Hawaii, by the way? Like, this dude, you guys want to start a church up? I mean, we can talk afterwards. And are you in? All right, we'll talk afterwards. Wayne Cordero, though, he wrote this book over 20 years ago called The Divine Mentor. He came to a point in his individual walk in his ministry where, man, it was just getting stale. The dude had been doing ministry for a while. He'd been a pastor for a while. And he talked about how he'd come to church on Sundays and he just didn't have the same vigor that he once had. He'd get into God's word and he was just kind of hitting walls. And man, he tried different things and he finally came up with this method that I'm going to talk to you about on the back end. And it really just kind of revamped his whole just quiet time with God. And he ended up teaching it to his church and it ended up becoming just a major, major thing nationwide. And I think it's ended up coming worldwide now that people have adapted this method. But in this book, right from the get-go, he talks about sycamore trees. And if you don't know anything about sycamore trees, they're literally the third largest tree in the world. On average, they stand 200 feet tall and 20 feet in diameter. That's large, by the way. It's massive. And he said some years ago, the first sycamore tree in Yosemite State Park ended up falling down. It came crashing down. And all the environmentalists and the researchers in that area were baffled. Because this doesn't happen often. So they went out to figure out why did this happen. And their conclusion was, over so many years, and these things lived for hundreds of years. So over so many years, there was so much foot traffic at the base of this tree that it ended up damaging the roots so much that it caused this massive tree to come crashing down. I mean, can you imagine a tree that stands 200 feet tall, 20 feet in diameter, what type of root system it would need to keep it standing for hundreds of years? And yet that root system had become so damaged over so many years because of so much foot traffic that it ended up causing the tree to fall. He went on to say, to tie this in to us as believers, right? Because as believers, we get the Holy Spirit now resides in us. As Pastor Alex talked about this morning, and Ephesians says this, and I believe Romans says it as well, we are sealed to the day of redemption, and it cannot be stolen from us because of the work of Jesus Christ. And at that point, we have a root system, a spiritual root system that is building inside of us. And we see pictures of this all throughout Scripture. But he says, as believers, we have delicate root systems, though, more fragile than we would ever imagine. And unless we find a way to protect and nourish those roots, we too will fall. He goes on to say this. He says, what kind of foot traffic do you deal with every day? More than you might imagine. Some of us suffer the wear and tear of long daily commutes, okay? More of us that are, and maybe some of you work, but probably locally. He says, we find ourselves responding to unending emails, phone calls, and text messages. Noise, chatter, crowds, politics, talk radio, telephone, television, social media, worries, responsibilities, deadlines, endless chores, and relational bruises. Foot traffic wears on all of us. We can't evade it most of the time. And it's inevitable. It's just going to happen in our life. There's some things that we can avoid, but there's many things, just because we live in a broken world, we're going to have to deal with it. So here's what he says. We can't evade most of it, and that's not really the solution anyway. What we need to do is protect the most important part of us, that deep down soulish part of our life that links with our Creator. It's about learning to protect it and preserve the root systems that God has given us. Here's the challenge, though. When it comes to reading and studying the scriptures, statistics show the majority of Christians are not in God's Word on a regular basis. That percentage shrinks even more when you talk about the ones that are actually in God's Word, but are actually studying it and not just reading it to check it off the list for the day. So why is that? There's actually three main reasons that I believe. So this is my personal opinion based on some experience of dealing and talking with people over years of why most Christians are not in the Word on a regular basis. Number one is they just don't know how. They've never been taught. They've never sought out a reason, of how to do it. They just don't know how. Number two is they don't see a need for it. Maybe they grew up in a denomination where kind of the leaders took on that role. And there's even some denominations that say it's only the leaders of the church that can interpret scriptures. And really, that's not up for anybody else. So maybe that's just kind of how they grew up. So at this point, they don't see a need for it. That's for the educated people. I don't see that in scripture, by the way. Number three, probably the most prominent excuse that people use, and it is an excuse, and I'll explain to you what I mean by that in a second, is they don't have time. Here's what I find about time, and I hope you take this in other areas of your life. Time is only an issue in the absence of value. Now let that sink in for a second. Time is only an issue in the absence of value. We find time for things that are valuable to us. Let me give you an illustration. If I paid you $10 a day to spend $15 a day in the Word of God, how many of you would find time to spend more time in God's Word? Let's be honest. Come on. $10 a day I'm going to give you. That's $300 a month if you just spend 15 minutes a day in God's Word. All of a sudden, I brought some value to the table. I'm not doing that, by the way. Neither are your leaders. We're not going to coerce you. This is something that you've got to own yourself. So time is not the issue. It's a value issue. And it's not just amongst students. This is amongst adults. Right? When we get into the craziness of life, I've got four kids, man. My time is being taken up by so many different things. So what I've got to figure out is this valuable enough to take up my time? There's many things in my life where I've got to say no. I've learned over time, though, the studying of God's Word absolutely has to be at the top of the list. So part of what I want to talk about today is not just the how, but on the front end is the why. The how means nothing if you don't understand, if we don't understand the importance of getting in to God's Word. So I'm actually going to talk to you from three different perspectives here. We're going to talk about the motivation to get into God's Word. We're going to talk about the model, the greatest example that we can look at in Scripture. And we're going to look at an actual method, which is where we get to the how. So let's talk about the motivation, right? I actually, all throughout Scripture, all the way from the beginning to the end, there's multiple passages, multiple verses talking about the importance of God's Word, of meditating on God's Word. I'm actually just going to focus in on two today. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And the one in the New Testament, I picked out, first off, because it comes straight out of Jesus' mouth. And secondly, because it not only speaks to what happens to us when we do get into God's Word on a regular basis, but just as importantly, if not more importantly, from a motivational standpoint, of what happens to us when we're not in God's Word on a regular basis. It's another very well-known passage of Scripture. There's a lot here. You could preach an entire sermon series on these four verses. I'm just going to focus in on one main area, but I want to read it to bring some context. This is Jesus talking to a set of believers, right? Of people that are actually following Him for the right reasons. He says, "Hey, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you," and we're going to talk about what that means towards the back end, "you will bear much fruit," which is our creative purpose, right? "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He goes on in verse 6 and says, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned." There's many, many believers and pastors out there that want to use this as evidence that you can lose your salvation. In context, that's not what he's talking about here. When he talks about burn away and wither, that's not talking about losing the salvation God has given you. We cannot do that. We didn't earn it, therefore we cannot lose it. What he's talking about here, and the main word I wanted to focus in on, is that word wither. Like, if you've ever bought a plant before, a plant that's already healthy, or maybe there's a funeral and you were able to get one of those plants. We have a couple from my mother-in-law's funeral, actually, about 6 years ago. We have two of them that are still going. Literally, you can have those plants and forget to water them for a day, and you won't see any change. There may have been a little bit of a change, but it's only been a day, so you're not going to see much change. You let another day go by, you're probably still not going to see much withering going on there. However, you start that pattern of not watering or giving it sunlight, or both of them, 3, 4, 5, 6 days go by, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, you're going to see the evidence in the plant of withering starting to happen. This is what Jesus is talking about. Hey, if you stay connected to me, you stay in my word, you sit at my feet, as he gave the example with Martha and Mary, you study my word, you get in God's word so it gets in you, that you will prosper, as we're getting ready to talk about. You do nothing though, you will wither. Here's what Wayne Cordero says in his book: the Father's main tool for pruning us and do helping us to enjoy a deeply satisfying, productive life is the Word of God. Here comes Satan, though. The devil knows this, and if he can keep you from the Word, you'll simply dry up. We wither. I said something similar in the first session when I talked about being intentional in connecting with God, and if we're not, we're going to automatically default to the flesh. Here's another way to say it. If you do nothing, you know what you have to do to wither? Nothing. That plant, you leave it alone and you do nothing. Like, it literally takes work. Not much. Every day, it takes a discipline of going over to that plant, maybe a couple times a day, getting a pot of water, dumping the water in there, making sure it's getting the proper sunlight. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes discipline. You do nothing to the plant, it inevitably will what? It will wither. It's the same thing in our spiritual lives. We have to do nothing in order to wither. You are as close to God or as far from God as you choose to be. So, when we're not connected to Christ, inevitably, we will wither. However, on the flip side, when we're connected to Christ, we prosper. So many people in this time of year, probably about a month prior, set out New Year's resolutions, and in some degree, that word prosper gets thrown around. Now, in the heaven, in the worldly view, that's more financial type of prosper, maybe in your health. What about spiritual prosper? What if you make 2019 the year that you spiritually prosper? There's only one way to really do that, and Psalm talks about that. The first Psalm talks about that. Well, that's weird. How did that happen? All right, here we go. Psalm 1 talks about that. Right from the get-go, there's 150 psalms, and right from the get-go, this is what King David says. He says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the ways that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but what? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, which is the Word, and who meditates on the law day and night. This person," here's the results of that, "is like a tree planted by the streams of water." There's that root system, right? "Which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers." And I'd ask you to raise your hand for all those who want to prosper, but I've had some reluctance on you guys raising your hand. So I'm just going to assume you'd love to prosper, right? Because through prosper comes everything that we want in life, in a spiritual sense. When we're connected to Christ, we prosper. When we're not connected to Christ, we wither. So how about our model? So that's the motivation, right? How about our model? There's no greater example and model in Scripture than Jesus Christ, which I think is quite interesting, right? Because there's this crazy concept and truth that God, or Jesus, excuse me, is fully God, yet on this side, he's fully human. Can anybody explain that, by the way? Alex? I have no clue how that works, but he is, right? He's fully God and yet fully human, which means he's had this human side to him. He had the same struggles that all of us went through. Temptations doesn't mean that he played into any of those, because he was sinless, but we see this right from the get-go. I just want to rapid fire some scriptures to you guys. Here's what it says in Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, which means even Jesus, fully God, but because he had a fully human side to him, still had to grow. And we see that he did in wisdom and in stature. And it had everything to do with the rhythm that he had set up in his life. And we see this rhythm played out over and over again in all of the Gospels. Here's some of that rhythm. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So we see an example of very early in the morning, which, by the way, I don't like this example. And I would think many of you teenagers in this room don't like this example as well, because I don't like to get up when it's still dark outside. Anybody else with me? Right? And I'm not saying that necessarily we have to take this and it's descriptive and man, you have to get up when it's dark outside, although that is fun when you can do that. There's a lot of solitude in that. But we're seeing an example of a guy, again, fully God, fully man, who still saw the need to get up before anybody else was, to get that solitary time with God. We go on in Matthew 14:23, right? This is right after he just did the, that's the next one. I'm sorry. This is Matthew 14:23. I'm sorry. Yeah, so this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. So God, Jesus just performed this amazing miracle where he fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. And then it says right after that, he had dismissed them. So he let the disciples go and he said he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So we see it in the middle of the day. So we see Jesus in the morning, get time with God. We see him in the middle of the day after he just performed this huge miracle. I'm sure he's exhausted because he had the human side of him. And what does he do? He goes and gets alone with God. Then we see in Luke 6:12, right? One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. And then a chapter back, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. God alone, often, man. It was just the rhythm of his life. Why do I bring this up? Simply for this reason. If Jesus needed to go in the spiritual training to deny himself and live in the Spirit, which is contrary to the flesh, to abide in the Father's love and bear fruit, then how much more is this true for you and me? See, this goes back to that pride thing, right? You know what, man? My life's good right now. Like, I got a great rhythm going on. I'm cool. And the instant we take on that approach, we don't see it, right, until it gets to a bad point. But we start to wither. And it just slowly happens. Slowly happens. Slowly happens. So you're all the way over here questioning and wondering, how the heck did I get here? I'll tell you, one step at a time in the wrong direction. And it wasn't even a bad direction. That's the pitfall. That's where Satan comes in. It's not like you were doing all the big sins out there. It's not like it was obvious. It was just simply a neglect of getting into God's Word, washing off the filth of the world, because it will build up over time. It's like scum on a car, right? If you don't give it a car wash, it just slowly builds up and builds up and builds up. And that's what happens to our minds and our brains and our hearts. And God's like, man, you need a regular washing. To clean and cleanse yourself. And the only way to do that on a spiritual level is to get with me on a regular basis. Man, we see Jesus, fully God, still have to have a rhythm in his life of regularly spending time with Jesus. By the way, I'm not talking about listening to podcasts, which, by the way, I love. I'm not talking about devotions, which I love. I'm not talking about listening to sermons on your phone or on YouTube, which I love. I think all of those things are great. None of those can replace time with God in his Word. So let's look at a method. There's many different methods to study God's Word out there. This is just one. And if you already have a method, maybe you're in a rhythm in your walk right now where you're continuously in God's Word, more power to you. Just keep doing what you're doing. Maybe you're at a time where you're like, kind of like Wayne, where I've been doing it, but man, it's become stale. And this is just a new method. You're like, man, I'm going to try something new. The point is that we're getting in God's Word. Doesn't necessarily matter how you do it, unless doing it is literally just to check the box. Then you need to check our hearts, if that's our motive. But if it's really a hunger to get to know God more, to spend time with Jesus so we can prosper, be the light that He's called us to be in Matthew 5:16, live out the purpose, then man, it doesn't really matter how you do it. This is just one simple method that literally our entire church has adopted for this year. So here's what he says. Soap, S-O-A-P. You're actually going to get a handout at the end of this. And we're going to do this exercise here in a little bit. You're going to get a handout you can put in your Bible. And it actually explains each one of these processes. It's pretty simple. But until you literally get into a rhythm, if you choose to do this, you're going to help you to kind of just go back and realize what each one of these are. So S is just simply scripture. You're going to literally sit down. And on the YouVersion Bible app, raise your hand if you got the YouVersion Bible app, right? Very popular. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, maybe you have a different one. YouVersion Bible app is the most downloaded Bible app out there. It's got tons of reading plans on there. There's tons of devotionals, and nothing wrong with devotionals. But a lot of times, devotionals don't always get you into the Word of God. There's literally reading plans. I'm going with my entire small group. Actually, our entire church is going through a read through the Bible, a condensed version of it, in a year. So literally the entire church, we've handed out journals and we said, go through this together with us. Our small groups all connected on YouVersion Bible app and they can see the progress of everybody. So I have a passage available and given to me every day that I get to go through. You can do some other method. The point is that you get a passage of scripture. Maybe it's 10 verses long. And on the S part in your journal, now I'm actually asking some of you, and I understand in the teenage world, it's like, what is paper anymore? We have computers, we have phones, I get that. But there is power, scientifically proven, of literally writing something down. So I have a journal. I'm not a journaler, by the way. But this helps me stay focused, too. I literally have a journal. And I sit down. I love my paper Bible. You don't have to use a paper Bible. I have the YouVersion Bible app that sometimes I reference, and that's where I bring my plan up. And I literally sit here and journal. And the S is I write down whatever scripture of the 10 that I just read or 20 I just read that God spoke to me the most. Sometimes I have to read that multiple times. Sometimes I have to open up different translations to figure what it out. But I pick out one at the most, two verses, and I literally start my soap journal just writing that down. And there's power, again, in writing it down, especially if you're interested in it getting in you, maybe even memorizing it, I write it down. The O part of it is observation. This is all going to be on that paper, so you don't have to write it. Actually, I think it's on your paper. Observation is just, what does it say? From what you can see, based on the context clues, we talked about that in trivia last night, on the context, right? So in real estate, I know Jeremy's in real estate. Anybody know what the number top three things in real estate are to be successful?
Location.
In studying the Bible, I always say it's context. And this takes time to learn. Like to know who the author is writing to. Why was this book written? Who's even the author of the book? Sometimes all of that is important. To whom was it originally written? How does it fit with the verses before and after it? That's why it's important to take a chunk of scripture and not just one scripture. Some denominations have put an entire theology, they base it around one scripture that they've fully taken out of context. And it's like, have you not read the passages around that? It's super important. What is God intending to communicate through this text? You're literally just observing the text that God has given you. What does it mean? You can use some outside sources as well. I'm going to give you some recommendations on that in a second. Application, just as important, right? We're not just called to be, we're actually getting ready to do this, just hearers of the Word, but we're called to be doers of the Word. So this is teaching us now how to apply this into our life. What does this mean today? I love the Bible, written over 2,000 years ago, many parts of it, and yet it's still applicable and relevant today. But how? How does this passage speak into the 21st century, into your life? What would the application of this verse look like in my life, and what is God saying to me? And you're literally going to write this down. And then lastly is a prayer. My encouragement on this part, just be honest with God. He knows where you're at anyways. And after reading this, maybe it's on forgiveness. And you're struggling right now. You literally just can write, Father, and you know this, I'm struggling to forgive so-and-so. Father, soften my heart. I just read how Jesus yelled on the cross, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And I want to be that type of Christian. I want to be that type of example. Help me in this. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Amen. Or maybe it's something that you know God has worked on you, and it's just a prayer of thankfulness. Father, thank you so much for how you've worked in this area of my life over the last year. Father, thank you for Jesus, because of him, I am who I am today. Father, I love you. Amen. Just a simple prayer. That's all it is. You're done for the day. So here's some tips and recommendations. Okay, just going to give you 9 quick tips on studying God's Word, and then we're actually going to get into God's Word to end this session and to end all, I guess, all the sessions. Number one is just start. Quit putting it off. Right? Maybe some of you have been in church for so long, you've just been playing the game, you've been playing church, you've been checking the box, and it's like, you know what? Let's just be real from now on. Let's be authentic. Let's do something with what we're hearing every week. Otherwise, it's just pointless. It's just fun and games. And that's great for a period of time until you get into the real world, and we start to grow up, and we start to become independent, we start to face some of these struggles and these challenges, and all this foot traffic that I talked about, and it's like, whoa, start the discipline now in your lives. Don't wait until you're older and time becomes more or less of a commodity, I should say. Just start. Number 2 is pray before you begin. Let this be a work of God, not a human work. Remember, we can't fight the supernatural and the natural. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Before I do any of this, I'm often just pausing and just saying, Father, I can't do this without you. I need your Spirit not only to observe what I'm getting ready to read, to help me apply it. Father, help me understand what you want me to hear. It doesn't have to be a lengthy prayer, but pray before you begin. Be self-aware. We were talking about temptations back there around the table last night. We were talking about going to parties and different stuff like that with alcohol and all these things. And one of the girls there was honest, and she's like, you know what? I'd love to go to parties and be an example, but I'm just not at that point in my walk. She's self-aware of what her temptations are and that she would give into that so much so that she just stays away from that right now. That's beautiful, by the way. Be self-aware who God made you to be, right? So if you've got a friend who's just like a Bible junkie, can literally spend hours in the Bible, don't try to measure up to that person. You may get to that point. We're not talking about that. I know many pastors literally can read 2 books a month and internalize I can't even read a book a month and remember it. I can't even read a book in 6 months and often remember. I usually pick up a book, read half of it, and then pick up another one. Like, often in my ministry, I tried to become these other pastors because I admired them. And there's some importance to that. But understand who God has made you. Understand where your weaknesses are. And learn to strengthen those and understand what your strengths are. Don't try to be somebody else in this process. Just take your time. This is a lifelong adventure here. Number 4 is have a routine. Get into a rhythm. This may be hard. If you play sports, if you work, you get up every morning though to go to school, maybe it is a morning devotion for you. But try to find some type of routine and rhythm that you can get into. Number 5 is consider reading together with the group. I think this is beautiful for your age group. This is beautiful for my age group. Like, I'm on the YouVersion Bible app. You're able to link other people onto your study plan. And you can actually make comments on there. So I've got a group of guys that I meet with, and every Tuesday morning we get together, and all we do is we talk about our soap journals. What did God speak to you this week? And we open up our soap journals, and that's what we talk about. And there's a level of accountability with that. Because I don't want to show up, especially since I lead the group, right? With nothing to say, but man, if I've been spending time with God, maybe not every day, we're going to get to that, maybe even 4 days a week, I'm going to bring something to that conversation, and we're going to learn, and we're going to grow from each other. Consider doing it with a group. Number 6 is don't look for a feeling or a wow moment every time. This will kill you. Right? And your spiritual walk in general, this will just damper it. And this is what the devil wants. Oh man, you didn't even get anything out of that. What kind of Christian are you? Like, you just spent 20 minutes in God's Word, and you're telling me you can't figure out anything? Like, are you even a believer? And it's like, you know what? Every time I open up the Word of God, I'm not just baffled. I wish I was. And maybe times that speaks to my heart, but oftentimes it's like, you know what? I got something out of it. But yesterday, and I remember it was 2 days ago, the words just jumped off the page to me. I couldn't stop writing. The next day, I was like struggling to figure out what God was trying to teach me that day. It's okay. It's part of the discipline that you're creating in your life. Don't have to look for that wow moment every single time. Number seven, don't get overwhelmed. The Bible's large, guys. 66 books. Don't get overwhelmed with it. Take it one step at a time. Start with 10 minutes a day. And when you get that discipline, it's like working out, right? I talked about that earlier. Or yesterday. Working out is a process. And the more you do it, the more you become hungry for it. Don't get overwhelmed. Number eight, use outside sources. I love my study Bible, right? I think we need to spend time with God first and then move to the outside sources. So I love a study Bible. If you don't have a study Bible, maybe one of your leaders can recommend it. I love the Life Application Study Bible. It actually has notes at the bottom of it on almost every single verse. There's also outside sources that I'm going to point you to. There's a lot of junk on the internet. Be careful with that. Like literally, if you just search commentary on Luke 5:12, you're going to get some good stuff, you're going to get some bad stuff. And if you don't know how to sift through all of that yet, I just encourage you to maybe stick to like two of these sites and maybe other recommendations. GotQuestions.org is by far one of my favorite sites. You guys will love this site. It's a simple explanation of different questions over many years. There's over, I think, like 500,000 questions that people have submitted to a panel of believers, mature believers, that have then answered those questions in no more than five paragraphs. Very biblically sound. And you literally can just learn so much from that, from the passage that you're reading. And then take that and journal from it. Bible.org. If you want to go deeper, a lot deeper, you're really anxious, you're at a point where you walk where you just want to go deeper and learning from the Bible, Bible.org would be a great one. And number nine, last one is keep going. You miss a day, that's okay. Pick up the next day. Keep going. You miss 2 days in a row, it's okay. Keep going. I'm telling you, you miss a day, you'll see the spiritual battle. Guilt is not from God. So if you're feeling guilty, you can quickly identify that as the work of Satan. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That is not from God. Now, there is a conviction maybe, but don't let that conviction turn itself into guilt to where you feel so bad to even open up your Bible again because you're like, you know what, I've missed a week in a row. That's okay. Pick back up, start again, and just go right from that day. Don't try to even catch up. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. My pastor stood up two sermons ago. This is the lead pastor of the church. Been leading the church for over 20 years. Been in ministry for 35 years. He stood up. He opened up his Bible app on YouVersion. Because you can see, if you use that, how many days you missed in your reading plan. He said, the last 3 years, I've done a read through the Bible in a year plan. He said, last year alone, I missed 100 days. And if you just stop there and be like, wow, lead pastor of the church is actually being real enough to say, but he said, I was also in the Word of God 265 days. By the way, I don't really believe he missed 100 days because usually when we're studying for scriptures, we may not be in that reading frame or in others. But even so, if he missed 100 days, that seems like a lot, but over 365 days, that's 265 days where he was in the Word of God. That's a beautiful thing. You don't have to be every day. Don't overwhelm yourself with the pressure of trying to figure that out. I'll be honest, I don't even journal every day. I try to at least be in there for at least 10 to 15, sometimes longer, and I journal maybe every other day. Here's my last piece of advice on this. If you're going to journal, and I don't fully expect every single one of you to do, but if you're going to do it, you're going to get some kind of book to journal in, get a nicer one, and leave your first several pages for a table of contents. And here's why. 6 months down the road, you're going to be maybe struggling with something or going through something or talking with somebody about something. You're going to be like, I actually journaled on that. And if you don't have a table of contents, you're going to literally just start trying to go through your journal. What day was that? Where did I go? You can go back to that table of contents. So on each one of my journals, I have a title. And I don't write the title until I'm completely done. This one was called Everlasting Peace. And I have a scripture reference. So then I go back. And I have my pages numbered on the bottom. I go back to my table of contents. And I know on day two was everlasting peace. So if I'm talking to somebody about peace, I can go, you know what? I just journal about that. It was on day two. Now I can flip back to day two. And I can talk all about what I learned from God. I can get the scripture reference. So again, this is for people that are actually going to journal. That's a great recommendation. that Wayne Gordero gives is give the cable contest. Here's what I want to end with. Here's what he says. This life essential isn't a cure-all for every problem you'll face. But one thing's for sure. Neglecting devotions, neglecting getting in God's Word on a regular basis will cause you more problems more quickly than just about anything you can name. Spending unrushed time alone with God in His Word releases a fountain of refreshment from the very core of our beings. This isn't going to keep problems from happening in your life. What it's going to do, though, it's going to help you to more quickly identify the works of Satan. It's going to help you quickly overcome them through Scripture, through the Word of God. It's going to help you wash yourself of the filth that the world just constantly throws at us. It's going to lessen the foot traffic. It's going to protect those root systems. It's all extremely vital. If we even desire to have a fulfilling, joyful, prosperous Christian life. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have Pastor Jason come up. I'm going to put a passage of Scripture on here. We're going to spread out throughout this area. Get along. We're going to have a little bit of worship music playing in the background. Take your phone, take your Bible, right? Because you may not be able to read up here. On the back.